Well, the month of January is just about over. It will be before the end of this week. And of course, at the beginning of this month was the beginning of the new year, a time when many of us make New Year's resolutions. And perhaps for most of us who made a New Year's resolution, even by now, that is long in the rearview mirror. But maybe we at least have not made some like a few that I have run across recently, looking at some resolutions of other people. One individual said, in 2018, I went to the gym 4 times. My New Year's resolution is to cut that in half. Another individual said, that's a little bit like the guy who said, I didn't go to the gym today. That makes 5 years in a row. That's me. William, you will like this one. New Year's resolution of a particular individual, I am going to convince, in this new year, my resolution is to convince as many people as possible that hillbilly is short for Mountain William. So you have a new nickname now. So Kendrick likes that one. Another one, I want to happily keep my resolutions this year of not being passive aggressive, unlike some other people I know. That's my favorite one. And then finally, to accomplish my New Year's resolution is to accomplish the goals of 2018, which should have been done in 2017, because I promised them in 2016 and I planned them in 2015. Maybe that's a little bit like the rest of us, you know. So, at any rate, resolutions are times when we normally look at what we would typify as new beginnings. And so we want to think about new beginnings, not so much on New Year's resolutions that we might come up with here and there, most which tend to be helpful to some degree. But I want us to think about some new beginnings that we read about in Scripture. And to work that out today, we're going to take it from a very simple outline standpoint. We're going to look at the past, we're going to look at the present, and we're going to think about the future. And I think as we think about new beginnings and some scriptures that will help us understand that, we will be blessed by the Word of God to begin anew and to resolve to follow some of the things that the Word of God teaches us. Let's think about, number one, forget the past. Here's something about some new beginnings. Number one, forget the past. Here are two scriptures, one from the Old Testament and one from the New Testament. The one from the Old Testament we will find in Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43, verses 18 and 19. And in this particular book of Isaiah, there is much rebuke said to the children of Israel for the reason that they were being punished by God. And yet there is also promise of great hope and a great future once that punishment is satisfied, so to speak, of their sins, and that God will once again return them and restore them to His service. And in Isaiah 43, as we think about forgetting the past, Isaiah 43, verse 18, God says through Isaiah the prophet to His people, "Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old." And God says, behold, and when you read that word behold in the Bible, it's usually an attention-getting word. It ought to be perhaps in bold letters, maybe even in all caps, because it's an emphatic word both in the language of the Old Testament and the language of the New Testament. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. See, God says about the past, well, those are the former things. Those are the things of old. And to these people who were the first recipients of Isaiah's message, they would understand that that would go back and maybe have at least a couple of applications. They would have to remember the times when they were in sinful rebellion against God. And then they would have to also remember the times that they were in captivity and being sorely punished because of their sins and all that at the hand of God. But God says there is yet something to come. And so do not remember the former things, nor consider the old. Behold, I am going to do something new. And as you think about that, hold all your thoughts about that idea for our third and final point about the future. But as we emphasize in this point, forget the past. And because there are many things that can drag us down about our past that we simply need to put behind us. In support of that, let's look at a text from the New Testament in the book of Philippians chapter 3. A very familiar passage, I no doubt, to all of us. But Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. And the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to write these words to that church at Philippi that still have great relevance to you and me today. Philippians 3, 13. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now, we understand as children of God from this Old Testament text and this New Testament text, God is encouraging us to forget the past. And here are two great men of God, Isaiah delivering a message to his people, God's people of the Old Testament days, and the Apostle Paul delivering a message to God's people of New Testament days. And all of these are emphasizing that there are things about our past that we need to leave in the past, that we need to forget the past. That doesn't mean that it didn't happen. That doesn't mean that there aren't consequences even in present day and future day because of our past. But there are things about our past that we need to put behind us. And I want to suggest to you very specifically, there are two things that we need to forget. Number one, we need to forget the wrongs that we have committed against others. Number two, we need to forget the wrongs that have been committed against us. And when I say that, let's break it down. Number one, we need to forget the wrongs that I have committed against others. I don't mean ignore them. I don't mean that you pretend like it never happened. But you forget those things by resolving those things. That's how we forget the wrongs we have committed against others. We resolve them. Isn't that what Jesus was talking about in Matthew chapter 5? Turn, if you will, in your Bible to Matthew chapter 5 and look in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, verses 23 and 24. And in this context, Jesus seems to, you know, in the immediate context, is talking a little bit about human relationships and even makes mention of the fact of how we deal with other people that we have wronged, that we have sinned against, and how we resolve that and we handle that. Matthew 5, 23, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar. Now, in the old, you know, when Jesus is speaking this, the old law is still in effect. And so he's talking about worship under the old law. In principle, he's talking about even when we are going to worship. He says, when we bring our gift to the altar, and there, remember that your brother has something against you. Leave your gift, therefore, before the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. You remember that your brother has something against you. Why? Because you did something to your brother. You did something to someone else that you should not have done. And before you come into the house of God, using Old Testament language, and you lay your gift on the altar, resolve that problem. And once you resolve that problem, you put it behind you. And then you go and you worship. And so forget the wrongs that you have committed against other people because you have resolved them. And number two, forget the past because you forget the wrongs that have been committed against you. I forget the wrongs that have been committed against me. Now, That's a simple statement to make, but maybe a hard thing to actually do. Because we're talking about, you know, it's personal now. Because this is something that somebody did to me, said to me, maybe someone that I love, admire, respect, and my family. And the Bible says, you know, don't consider the former things. Don't think about those things. Forget those things that are in the past. Press forward in another direction. Well, perhaps one of the most wise things that I've ever heard that will help us in regard to forgetting the wrongs that have been committed against me personally is to remember. Don't remember the wrongs, but remember that God has forgotten them. You know, you can resolve something with somebody. Somebody can wrong you, and you can resolve something with somebody, and yet the devil will still jab us with what that thing was and make us think less of that person. And consequently, relationships do not develop and become what they ought to become. And consequently, we don't walk with God the way we ought to walk with God. Because there's still that nagging, annoying feeling, even though we have resolved it, and forgiveness has been asked and granted and said, and love has been shared. Well, you forget those wrongs that have been committed against you by remembering. You remember that God forgave it. And when you remember that God forgave it, and you remember that God forgot it, then it will help us tremendously in being able to forgive and forget the wrongs committed against us. So as we think about new beginnings, let's, number one, forget the past. But now, number two, let's live faithfully in the present. Forget the past, number one. Number two, faithfully live in the present. Serve God as faithfully and as fully and as effectively as you possibly can right now. Because really, you know, all we have is right now. And let us make the most of what we have. And let us make the most of our faith and faithfully following God. Once again, I invite you to look at two passages, one from the Old Testament and one from the New Testament. Lamentations chapter 3. You know, the very title of the book, Lamentations, does not lend itself to happy thoughts. It does not lend itself just by the suggestion of the very title of something that you would approach and read and that you would develop a resolution from here to live faithfully, to live stronger. This, you know, the book means to lament, sadness, sorrow. And primarily, that's what the book is full of. A lot of sadness and sorrow that Jeremiah wrote concerning the sins of his people and how grievously they were punished because of those sins and how difficult things were for them because God had made them difficult because the people had made such sinful choices. And yet, right smack in the middle of all this grief, all this sorrow, all this pain, all this hurt, you read something to encourage you to faithfully live in the present. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. Because His compassions fail not, they are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in Him. You see what the text says? You see, in the middle of a book about lamenting and sadness and sorrow, great is Your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, therefore I will hope. Here in the middle of sadness and sorrow is hope. Why? Because it is the Lord's mercies. It is His compassion, verse 22. And what about them, verse 23? They are new every morning. The present, right now,
this morning, when you and I got up, God's mercies and God's compassions were all brand new. And if the Lord wills that we live till tomorrow morning, same thing. And the day after that, and the day after that, and on and on and on. The Lord's mercies and the Lord's compassion are new every morning. And that ought to encourage us to live faithfully every morning. And to live faithfully every day. Because God is here today. God is with me, and He was with me from the beginning of this morning. And He brought His mercies, and He brought His compassion with Him to give to me. Great is His faithfulness. Therefore, what? I will hope in Him. Live faithfully today. Live faithfully in the present. But as we develop this even further from the New Testament, think about Ephesians chapter 4. Chapter 4, verses 22 through 24. We looked at Lamentations 3, 22 through 24. Now here's Ephesians 4, 22 through 24. In Ephesians 4, we're going to see how this supplements what we've already been looking at and encourages us to live faithfully today and to live faithfully in the present. In this text, in Ephesians 4, beginning at verse 22, that you put off concerning your former conduct, that's the past, the old man, that's the past, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed, remember, Lamentations says that they are new every morning, be renewed how in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on, here's today, here's the present, put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. This is how we live faithfully every day. We forget the past. We put off the old man. We put off the old sins. We put off the old lifestyle. We put off the old conduct. We put that behind us. And today, in the present, we live faithfully. Why? Because we've already started the day out with God's mercies and God's compassions. And that they are overwhelmingly swirling all around us. And great is His faithfulness. Therefore, we are motivated to faithfully live today in the present and put off the old man and put on the new man that's created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Live righteously. Live truly righteously. And live in holiness. You see, that's faithfully living in the present. And we are better enabled to do that when we forget the past. Now, number two, we faithfully live in the present. But make that your resolution. Make that your resolution today and every day. But now, number three, let us face the future. Yes, number one, we forget the past. That is the past. We put that away. We deal with it. We don't ignore it. We don't pretend like it didn't happen. We forget it because we have resolved it and we have dealt with it. Then we faithfully live right now in the present. And yet we know if it's God's great mercy and love for His plan for us, there is something yet future. And so with these two in mind about forgetting the past and faithfully living in the present, face the future. Face what is yet to be. Face what is yet to come. And I invite you once again to a passage from the Old Testament from the writings of the prophet Jeremiah. And Jeremiah is often called in much of the literature that you read about him, the weeping prophet. He had to deliver a heavy message to God's people because of their sins. He had to deliver the prophecies about their punishment, about their captivity, about the tremendous loss of life and consequences that would result from the sinful choices of the nation of Judah.
And it was no pleasure for him to do this. It was no delight for him to do this. And yet, just like in Lamentations, we're in the midst of all this sadness and grief and heaviness and sorrow, there's still a message of redemption and hope about the future. You find that scattered all throughout the book of Jeremiah also. That there's good news here in spite of the consequences. In spite of all the negative things that are going to happen because of your sins. And in Jeremiah 29, you read, you get just sort of a capsulization of one of those encouraging thoughts. In verse 10, Jeremiah 29, verse 10, "For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon," you see, that's their punishment. That's the captivity. "After 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you and cause you to return to this place." You see, God is talking about the future, isn't He? These people have done some sinfully terrible things, and they have brought upon themselves some terrible consequences. And they're going to have to go into captivity, and they will be there, according to Jeremiah, and not just in this passage, but a few others as well, 70 years. But God says, "I'm not finished with you yet. Because after those 70 years are completed, now I want you to look toward the future. After those 70 years are completed, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place." Now look at verse 11. "For I know the thoughts I think toward you." Some translations say, "I know the plans I have for you." See, God is talking about the future. And He knows the plans that He has for us. He knows the thoughts that He thinks about us. Thoughts, verse 11, "of peace and not of evil. To give you a future and a hope." Face the future, because God is already there. Face the future, because God already knows the thoughts that He thinks about us. And God already knows the plans that He has for us. If you will, think for me for just a moment about what God can do with each and every one of us when we let Him. What can God do with me when I let Him? What can God do with you when you allow Him? Think about some fishermen many years ago named Peter and Andrew and James and John. They were just going about their everyday business and doing their everyday thing and making their everyday living. And through the influence of Jesus coming along and saying, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men," because Jesus knew the plans He had for them. Jesus knew the thoughts He was thinking of them. And men who allowed the Lord to call the shots for their future. Men who did great things for God because they had faith in Him to face the future. Think about the Apostle Paul. How, if we were compiling a list of potential missionaries, potential great workers for the Lord, the man named Saul would not be on that list. Yet God said, in essence, to him, "I know the thoughts I think of you. I know the plans I have for you." And there is no limit to what God can do with us when we let Him. The only thing standing in the way of you having the right relationship with God is you. It's me. And when we allow God to fulfill His will through us. There is no limit to what can be accomplished. Now we have to realize that this requires great patience on our part. You do not reap in the same season you sow. That's a very simple truth, and it's even a biblical principle. And while it's a simple concept perhaps to understand, it's often hard to apply. And we cannot be all that perhaps God wants us to be at the flip of a switch, but very patiently, methodically, faithfully. You cannot be perfect, but you can be faithful. You cannot be perfect. I cannot be perfect for one single second, but you can be faithful all day long. And you remember, we started the day out with God's mercies and God's compassions. We started the day out forgetting our sins of the past because we've resolved them. And now we're facing the future with our faith. And when we do that, patiently, methodically, faithfully, we will grow after God has planted us and blossom into what He wants us to be, because He knows the plans that He has for us. He knows the thoughts that He thinks about us. You know, it's an old saying. It's almost trite, but it's very true. What you are is God's gift to you. And what you become is your gift to God. Face the future with faith. Live faithfully in the present and forget the past. Resolve it, forget it. Move forward. Live for Jesus and live for Him every day. Maybe you need to begin doing that today. Maybe you need to begin doing that this very hour. And you need to turn your life over to the Lord. You need to quit walking in darkness. You need to quit walking in sin. And you need to have your sins washed away by the blood of Jesus. Be baptized in His name. Acts 22:16 says, "Why are you waiting? Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, washing away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Forget the past. Forget the sins. That's what God is going to do with it. Live faithfully in the present and face your future with faith. Faith in God. Faith that will develop through His Word. Faith that will carry you today and every day, because great is His faithfulness. Please come this morning if you need to, as we stand and listen.